The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Milwaukee Bucks, green and growing, better each
Bucks with the big win last night over the Pacers at Fiserv Forum. Place looked absolutely electric again. I believe that some of the players even talked about the environment and the crowd and the fans and how great they were, helping them get off to a good start, keeping the momentum as the game went on, even when the game was kind of ridiculously out of hand. Bucks were up by as much as 30, ended up winning by 15. Lots of folks weighing in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Jason saying, so wait, the Bucks are good now? It's like when your wife is mad at you, but she starts talking to you, and then she slaps your hand if you try to grab her butt. It's so confusing. Then it says, ask Chewy, he knows.
Oh, yeah.
Familiar with that dance, yeah. Are you?
What you do now?
We are taking your numbers this morning on what your confidence level was going into the game. I said I was at about a 5, again, not knowing how they would handle the pressure of the playoffs without Giannis, if this team would be able to shoot and score, and obviously they did through Dame Lillard. And now I'm at a 6, because that moved in the positive direction, yet I'm still a little bit nervous about, one, the second half of the game where they were able to shut down Dame Lillard, the adjustments that the Bucks will make to their adjustments, and also getting Giannis back in the mix. And what that looks like and how they run the offense. And if you're going to have Giannis, you know, off the ball a little bit more. Tone weighing in on our YouTube page saying, instead of playing point forward, Giannis needs to learn to dominate without the ball. Has to start playing as a rim rolling four. Let Dame possess the ball as much as possible. That is Tone's suggestion. Gabe, you in on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the reason why you brought Damian Lillard here. That's not to say, you know, at different points in the first three and a half quarters, that Giannis can't bring it up, because there are also going to be times when, you know, Dame's obviously not on the floor. And if a team is going to full court press and just be annoying for Dame, just to kind of give him, you know, okay, I don't want to have to work that hard to bring the ball across the timer, you give it to Giannis and let him bring it up, and you can still run little different actions to get Dame the ball and run the offense through him. So yes, I think that running the offense through Damian Lillard is the best option for the Bucks. And even if you do that, Giannis can still clean up a lot of misses. He can get shots around the rim. He can still get his 25 to 30 points.
But do you shoot till you make it? I mean, you kind of know. When you go on a golf course,
yeah,
right, and you're feeling it, you're feeling it.
Yeah.
But when you're not, you're not. Is it the same in basketball? Or should Dame shoot until he makes it?
Shoot or shoot. You shoot to get hot, you shoot to stay hot.
Really? See, I think that's bad when you got a guy like Giannis, because they both can dominate, and that's what I'm talking. If he doesn't have it, then maybe Middleton does,
yeah,
or something like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, if Dame, you know, starts 0-for-4, I don't think he's only taking 6 shots for the game.
Our favorite guy, Kendrick Perkins, was weighing in on the game last night, guys. He said, Dame MF Dalla. He's just getting started, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, he will be the best player in this series. Carry the hell on. Wow, he really hates Giannis, huh? Disrespect. Does not like. It's very obvious that there's a thing happening here.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because, like, again, he's one of the few people who picked the Bucks to win the series before game one, and yet didn't have Giannis in top, you know, his top MVP, didn't have Giannis first team All-NBA, so Giannis isn't going to be unanimous in that situation. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, and also, the NBA did release its finalists for each of its major awards, and shout out to Bobby Portis, who is one of 3 guys remaining as sixth man of the year. So when does that get announced? It's after the season, right? Oh, is that their awards or something like that?
They've mixed it up so many times where they've done it in season, out of season. I think they do it out of season now, but who knows?
All right, I want to take a pivot because I want to get to the Green Bay Packers. We got to hear from Jeff Hafley this weekend. He did a conversation with Larry the Rock McCarron on Packers.com, and he said some interesting stuff, some eye-raising stuff. Let's take a listen to Jeff Hafley, who was on Packers.com, talking about this year's Green Bay Packers defense.
I told the players I want to lead the NFL in effort, and I want to lead the NFL in how hard we play, and I want to lead the NFL in taking the ball away. I want people to see the confidence that our players are playing with in themselves and with their teammates, and showing them how much they care about each other and this team by how hard they play and how hard they run to the ball and the effort that they give.
Mm. That's not very glowing for last year's defense, because I'm sure the first thing he did is went in and watched every game and graded it. And
to
the fact
you,
that
to give you context, they did talk about that later in the interview. He watched every single play.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's what you do and regrade them. And obviously, we always thought it, that the effort was lacking at times. And I tell you what, this new rule change where you where you can't bring a guy, because that was taught. That was taught because gang tackling is kind of a thing of the past now, which is going to have to come back now.
Population? Right, you said gang tackling, population tackling?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, it's going to have to, because if you get, I mean, how many times do you see a linebacker or a tight end get behind the linebackers? How the hell do you tackle them now? You know?
I don't know.
That's going to be a different rule change. And we kind of went through this under Coughlin at Boston College when we went from the coach I had for 4 years, Jack Bicknell, to Coughlin. He did the same thing. And he charted loafs. Loafs. He called them loafs.
Mm-hmm.
9 flipping loafs in that game.
Okay, so how do you gauge? How do you measure a loaf?
Effort. You can tell. You can tell what a loaf is if the guy's just kind of
going through the motions.
And a guy, the whoever has the ball isn't down yet, and you got guys standing around.
Okay,
it's very easy to chart.
So that's my only criticism of the comment that he made, which was we want to lead the league in effort. That's a pretty nebulous metric. I can't watch a game and go, oh, they got 17 efforts, or you know what I mean? And also he talked about takeaways, guys. By the way, Green Bay was one of the worst teams in the league last year in takeaways. They had 18. I'm looking at the stat here from 2023. They had 18. That is second worst in the league for takeaways.
But
so in order to lead the league in takeaways, you're going to have to make a major jump. 31 was the number last year that led the league in takeaways from a team standpoint.
But it goes hand in hand. Because when we played Minnesota back in the day, their defensive philosophy was the first guy go in and hold the guy up. The second guy and third guy go in and get the ball. That's why every time we played them, we'd have to put emphasis on that. Look, that's how they play. They're going to hold you up. Next guy's going to drill you. Next guy's going to try and rip the ball out. And it worked. They led the league in turnovers, I think, a bunch. So you can tell effort. And it would explain a lot of things here. How many times we see Jair or who's the?
Darnell Savage.
Just throw a shoulder into the guy. What the hell is that? What is that? It's not football. He's going to go back to fundamentals. He's going to do the drill that they all hate, where they have to chase the ball around. The D linemen have to run 40 yards down the field. I know it sounds Johnny High School-ish, but those things matter.
I think the turnovers come when you play more aggressive.
Yeah.
Like the style of defense that Joe Barry wanted to play, keep everything in front. You're not being aggressive. Are you going to give up some big plays? Yeah, you're going to give up some big plays when you're being aggressive. But when you're just trying to keep everybody in front, you don't want to give up the big play. You're not going to create turnovers. That's just not how that works. Do I expect them to jump to the top? Absolutely not. But I expect that number to go up just based on stylistically the way that Halfley's talked about.
That's why it's going to take a little time, because with playing an aggressive defense, you put guys on an island.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you have to figure out, can this guy play in my scheme? No, he can't. You know, that's how you play aggressive.
Well,
you got to realize that some guys are going to be exposed.
Speaking of that, Halfley did go on to talk about the players, because again, you guys just mentioned he watched all of the film. He knows what guys can do. He knows what they have been doing. Here's what he had to say about the players that they have on defense.
We've got really good players, very talented players. I think the D-line has depth, and they have some guys that played their best football last year. And the same thing I see at the linebacker position. I know Quay and McDuff have kind of been the guys at the end that were playing. And then the back end, you know, we have maybe the best corner in football. He's a fun guy to be around, and he loves ball, and he's super talented in Ja. And then you get Keyshawn, who we were really excited to have back playing nickel. And then you get Xavier to play safety, seeing all the things that he could do. And then the younger guys that got experience here that give us some depth, and now we have competition for other spots that are open.
Who played their best football last year, Chu?
Nobody.
Defensively?
That's why I was thinking when he said that, I was thinking a little Matt Rhule with Cam Newton. When everyone in the world knew Cam Newton was gone, and Matt Rhule's like, I really am excited to be able to coach him for the next couple of years. You know?
What an odd reference. I don't remember that.
You remember it, because I bring it up all the time.
Yeah, Chewie's brought it up a number of times.
But it's like,
I don't know if I actually remember it. I just know that you bring it up, so I just assume it's right.
So what if you're a guy that wasn't mentioned by Halfley? are you like, oh boy?
Well, even so,
but
he mentioned
a lot of defensive linemen. It was mostly the
Quay and McDuff, but all he said was, well, those guys were playing last year.
Well, he had. Yeah.
Well, they were here.
Hold on.
Oh.
He had McDuffie at Boston College.
Right.
That's his guy.
I wonder if he thinks McDuffie played his best football last year. I wonder if he thinks Keyshawn Nixon played his best football last year. Although you could argue that it was the year before, which is what led to the contract, right? Last year wasn't the year. Oh, wait. Was the contract just this offseason?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big contract.
I thought that was last year. It was just this past offseason. Woo! Draft cannot get here fast enough, by the way. Close the book on this offseason. Is there anybody I'm missing? Jair certainly did not play his best football last year.
Nope.
Kenny Clark was fine. He's
Kenny Clark
good
was
player.
Kenny Clark.
Had
he's
his most sacks
player.
Ever, didn't he?
I think he might have.
Yeah, that's...
Which is how many?
Single? 7.5. Yeah, he's never been double-digit guy.
I mean, he's good, right?
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a good player.
They need elite players, though.
Well, do you think McKinney's going to be that? I mean,
it's hard to be elite.
They paid him to be.
You got to be really.
What I was going to say just for what they gave.
But
him.
You got to really, really be good to be considered elite at the safety position. And there's not a ton like Leroy and Nick Collins. Right. Since then, but you need super.
But
like,
they also
like,
have
look
never
at
invested
San Francisco.
In the position either. Chu.
They did draft wise though.
Who did they draft?
Darnell Savage.
First round picks, you know. But look at San Francisco's defense. Those two linebackers, studs. Joey Bosa, stud. I don't know a lot about their defensive backfield. But if you can have three, what'd we have? We had two studs on defense. Reggie.
Yep.
And Leroy.
And I keep going back to San Francisco. Watching that San Francisco defense, and you were like, okay, Fred Warner, he's a stud. Okay, Dre Greenlaw is a stud until he got hurt in that game, obviously. But those guys were difference makers. They were field tilters.
Joey Bosa,
But again, you're paying guys to be difference makers and field tilters.
Yes.
And Xavier McKinney and Rashawn Gary. Those guys to be those guys.
Jair,
100%.
Like field tilter.
Yeah, Jair's still one of the highest, if not the highest paid corner. Yeah.
The highest.
Yeah. So you're paying those
Who
guys.
Who should be a stud,
they
but
have to be.
His head gets in the way. Of him being a stud.
Well, and I think that's part of what Halfley is doing right now. He's going to continue building him up. He's going to continue saying the right things to him because he knows he's a guy who can check out. And you don't want Jair to be a malcontent, right? Because that's when things can go sideways. So I think he's going to try to start with clean, fresh slate.
Yes.
And see if they can just keep building off of that.
Well, again, and then that's, I think, where things kind of went sideways in the previous regime. Clearly... The defensive coordinator and Jair Alexander did not see eye to eye.
So the biggest takeaway that Joshy had from that sound was what, Joshy? The sound about the effort?
Yeah, that last year there was visible to Jeff Halfley an effort issue that was taking place on defense. Now, I didn't watch and think there was effort. I just thought it wasn't that good of plays a lot of time and kind of how they were coached. But if he sees it as a fixable issue with effort, he's telling us that the players are there to have a good defense. They just didn't play like it.
I just don't know. Chewy, you got to tell me. If athletes, high-level elite athletes, work in nebulous metrics, because effort is one of those things that, like, I think you can skew. I think you can manipulate. I think you can kind of look like you are working really hard, but not really be working hard. And at the end of the day, it's like for our show, we talk about metrics that we get measured by to tell whether the show is growing, whether we're being successful, whether we're doing a good job. But if all of a sudden I was like, you know what metric I would love to know? We want to have the fewest yawns from our listeners, the fewest yawns out there. So we want to make sure that our listeners aren't yawning. Well, there's no way of knowing how often people are yawning during the duration of the show.
It kind of stems from, and I'll flip it over to the offense. Who was the guy that was here last? Joe Barry Carroll. If you're telling your defense, hey, we're going to keep everything in front of us, it kind of lulls you to sleep. And you'd have to fight it as a receiver. If you're sending me out as the fourth read every time, I'm busting my ass the first three routes I'm running.
Then...
But then you get to the sixth, seventh, and you're the fourth, three, and you're like, and then all of a sudden the one zips over your head because you're running three-quarter speed. That's kind of what you get lulled into, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not involved as a linebacker and say, hey, we're blitzing you on this play, You know, you're in coverage three times in a row, and then you're bringing it. You stay involved. But if you're like, just drop into the flat every time, you're like,
are you just playing center field as a safety?
Exactly.
Just going to hang out back here. Good luck up there,
but
guys.
But also from a coaching standpoint, you can't be motivated by that. You can't be like, oh, what are we going to do here? Oh, we got to get Joey over here involved in the play. Let's be, you know what I'm saying? Like, it has to be whatever is in the best interest of the entire team. So you're just saying they're fighting human nature. Human nature, which is to become complacent if you're not involved directly in the
play. That happens with veterans. I remember going back when we were Turd Central, you would have like for a clear out route when you're the number one on one and your job is to clear out, even though you're number one, you're getting the ball maybe one out of 15 plays. You'd have Sterling Sharp and Mark Clayton running half speed where he's supposed to be clear. And Eddie West almost got killed. I thought he might have died. Because they didn't clear it out, they ran lazy, didn't get the corner to turn its head, just look back, and they almost decapitated Eddie. That's the that's what Halfley's saying. This stuff is over. Over. You know when Holmgren said that, ooh. When it's over, that style of play, it's over.
So here's what he is doing, guys. He is absolutely putting a mark out there. He is putting a carrot out there for his guys. Because we can joke about how nebulous saying we're going to lead the lead in effort is. But leading the league in takeaways is something you can point to. Now he's said it. He's put it out there. They may not reach it. But this to me is like that old age-old statement about like shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land amongst the stars. Like this is what they are. They're not going to have 18 takeaways is the point.
Yeah.
They're going to be up there in the 20s. They're going to be up there in the high 20s. They're going to be up there competing, I think, if Halfley has his way, for the top of the league. Is that realistic, Joshy? Is it realistic to be a top five team in the league in takeaways with this defense?
I think it's a good goal for yourself to set yourself. I think if you believe in your talent, there's no reason you can't be. And if Jeff Halfley believes in his system to force the issue more, you can totally see it. Because you would think with effort, increased effort comes increased production.
And aggressiveness, right?
Right.
We talked about that.
But if we all tried harder, we would all do better. That's just kind of how stuff goes.
Yeah.
But how much to me, this all comes down to one thing. How much pressure can you generate? And can you do it with four? And do they have enough talent to be able to do that?
Do they? Not right now? And then the next question becomes, does that mean that you start prioritizing defensive line? Would you start prioritizing that, getting pressure, in the draft, which is now just a few days away?
I think that I don't see a lot on mocks. Like I saw a couple of 7-round mocks come out. I think defensive line, especially the interior, is a bigger need than most people realize. Because, you know, when you're putting together the mock draft, you're going, oh, they've got Kenny Clark, and, you know, they've got other bodies.
Kyle Brooks.
Even though there's been talk of potentially trading.
But if
haven't there been rumors online about, like...
because if Kenny, again, if you're not going to extend Kenny, which you would have done by now, because it would have been nice to have that money during the big-time free agency period and all of those things, if Kenny's not going to be here next year... That leaves a sizable gap. So I would not be surprised if they went after a couple of defensive linemen in the draft. They're kind of set with what they have on the outside. Obviously, they want Lucas Van Ness to continue to grow, probably split some rotational reps with Preston Smith. But Rashawn Gary has to have 12 or more sacks. Has to. Like, non-negotiable has to do it.
If you look at the best defenses in the league, they can all create pressure with four.
Yes.
That's what, and I'm not talking sacks. I'm talking pressure.
Because that's where the turnovers come from.
Because you're dropping seven, that's where your turnovers come from. They don't have to be sacks, but making the quarterback feel uncomfortable.
Rush into a
decision. I mean, look at Jordan Love. I think it might have been his last throw of the game against San Francisco. Got flustered, threw across his body, and resulted in a pick.
Game's over.
That's what you want.
So the
Packers, I think that's what they're going to try to get to, Jen, but right now, I'm saying they don't have the personnel to do it.
So the Packers were one of the worst teams in the league last year at takeaways. We mentioned that with 18. The top of the league was 31. Is it realistic for Jeff Halfley to say this team will lead the league in takeaways? Let's put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll for you to weigh in this morning. Again, they had 18 last year. That was second last in the league. Top of the league was 31. Is it realistic for Jeff Halfley to say, as he did on Packers.com, he wants this team to lead the league in takeaways? Gabe?
Bucks began their quest for an NBA championship last night. We're giving you that opportunity to be there for game two after the big win. We have two lower level tickets for tomorrow night's game to give away right now. And caller number 22 wins. That's right. Caller 22 at 800-990-3776. 800-990-3776. Do not miss out on all of the electrifying action, heart-stopping moments, and intense drama that is Milwaukee Bucks playoff basketball. Go to Bucks.com/playoffs for more info. The Milwaukee Bucks playoffs are presented by BMO.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tuna. It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we, for once, grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hit it!
You know how much I love X-Golf, and I especially love X-Golf at American Family Field because of how cool of a space it is. Inside the stadium, great overview over out there in left field. You've got Bernie's slide out there, and they've got great food and beverage options. And now you can book your sim time and get your single game tickets all in the same space, wherever you get your tickets for the Brewers, MLB.com/Brewers/tickets. Again, great food and beverage options, views of the field. Also, they've got a great contest going on right now. If you go out to X Golf at American Family Field, you play a regular round of golf, and you make an ace, you dunk one, you make the hole in one, you and a guest get to go down Bernie's slide. That's right, Bernie's slide if you make an ace. So check it all out. X Golf, AmericanFamilyField.com.
Finally starting to get some decent weather around here. Today is Earth Day. I'm sure a lot of people will be contributing in ways to Mother Earth. Yesterday, I took a bunch of kids out, bike rides, and we went down to the little creek slash river area that runs by our house. And I was just telling you guys, like, that's the stuff that we did when we were kids all the time, right? You just go and, like, find adventure. You didn't have any set play dates. You didn't have, like, specific things you were going to do. You just kind of, like, did whatever came along. And I kind of had this nostalgia wave over me where I was like, gosh, when we were kids, we had the old paddle boat. We would paddle our way across the creek to the abandoned island. And then you would just make up games. It was like your own little kingdom to just, I don't know, rule. And you were saying that when you were a kid, Gabe, you played games that, like, you don't even know when the last time somebody played some of the games you guys were playing as kids.
Oh, yeah. You're just running around. I mean, again, growing up in a town of 3,700, you know, I feel that you probably have more freedom as a kid. Your parents trust to, you know, oh, yeah, I'm just going to go down the street to Craig's house. Okay, I'm going to go down the street. Oh, I'm going to go over here. We're going to go over to the school and play home run derby. You know, you're just going to do all these different things with your pals. And I feel like once I was old enough to really confidently ride a bike, like that was your first taste of freedom as a kid. Because then you can just ride your bike everywhere. Parents don't have to drive you anywhere. Again, that changes again, I think, as you get older because you want to do some different things. But just riding your bike around town to all your different friends' houses, doing all the different things, it's great.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Kind of turns into stupid stuff, though.
What do you mean?
Because you always try to push. Well, I grew up in a town of 3,000, 3,500, yeah. Which, yes, pickle and ghost in the graveyard. But then it morphs into throwing an M80 down the stairs of the police department and
what
allegedly,
are you, Felony Melanie over here from Sweet Home Alabama?
Allegedly starting a fire on the mountain.
Oh, like a forest fire?
Well,
you're responsible for a forest fire?
Allegedly. Allegedly.
This is all alleged conduct.
Like, how many times did you pack a suitcase at 10 years old and said, I'm running away? That's like the cool thing to do when I was growing up. I'm just running away.
What?
Where'd you run away to? Well, the end of the road.
My sister did that. She got to the end of the... We lived on a corner lot in, like, I mean, busy highway.
Yeah.
And, you know, a small town is a relative term. But she got to the end of the block and just stood there because she knew she wasn't allowed to cross the street by herself. So she couldn't go anywhere. She stood there at the corner with the suitcase.
Like snowballs at a car. Just watching my father try to chase these kids down, my classmates, in flat work boots in 8 inches of snow was just like the best.
But it's what I'm saying. it was the best. I think kids are missing out now with the video games and the virtual reality and the sitting in front of the television streaming shows. And like, this is classic. It was so much better in my day rant. And I know that that's where we're sitting at. But I just had this wave of nostalgia as we were throwing rocks in the creek. Literally, the kids were picking up rocks and chucking them in the creek or grabbing some logs to make a makeshift bridge so you could get to the other side of the creek. They found a skull of a possum and they wanted to bring it home. Like, it was a hard no. We're not bringing home the skull.
Oh, come on, Mom.
It was still kind of cool. To be fair, I did
have
defer.
Have a little fun.
I did defer to the other mom whose child it was that wanted to bring home the skull and said, he's really pushing the issue. He really wants to bring home this skull. He says he'll stick a stick through the eye socket and carry it on his back like a hobo so he won't touch it.
That's very creative
she said,
by the kid.
Absolutely not.
Come on,
that
Mom!
Was her.
Yeah, no germs there.
That was her response to that. And I'm just thinking, like, these are things that we did as kids that, like, activated the imagination, and it feels like kids these days are not having those same luxuries. They're not doing those things. Maybe if you live in a small town like you did, like I did, like Chu did, that's what you had for entertainment. So you just went out and made your own fun. But it feels like some of these kids now, we as parents are organizing all of their fun. Oh, you want to go over to Sally's house? Oh, you want to go over to Janie's house? Why are my kids 1950s? Why do my friends' kids' friends have 1950s names? I don't know. Am I off on that? Am I just like being wrapped up in hanging out by the creek yesterday with these kiddos?
I think you're wrapped up a little bit in the nostalgia, but again, like, so I just think of like being in a bigger city now in Milwaukee. Like if I have kids at my house, like, I mean, Van Buren, people are just speeding through there. That's like a block away. I wouldn't trust a kid to cross the street with their bike on that.
The world changed so much. I mean, you used to go knock on your buddy's window and scare everyone in the house. I mean, my brother didn't know that the daughter was
allegedly,
changing at the time.
Allegedly, you know? This happened.
Yours are all so mischievous.
There's no innocence here. This is
there
all
were six
just...
kids, five boys. The worst was when you were riding your bike home and you saw like someone's car in the driveway that you might be in a little trouble. We were just knocking on the window. I didn't know the girl was going to be changing. And the dad was a little upset.
Well, yeah.
This is 19... That's why you can't do that stuff anymore.
Because of kids like you.
Yes.
You ruined it for this generation.
I mean, who would have thought... We used to call it... You know what mushing is?
Mm-mm,
maybe no. The dumbest thing we ever did. Hold on to the back of the bumper. You know, with sneakers on and mush in 8 inches of snow down to the center of town.
Wait, like sliding? Like you were like skiing?
Like Michael J. Fox with the skateboard and Back to the Future?
Could you imagine with sneakers on being pulled by a car going maybe 25?
No.
Hitting a pothole with your foot?
No, I was thinking of Capture the Flag.
Kick the can, you know, something.
Hide and seek, freeze tag. Like this
flashlight tag, you brought that one up.
We blew up the seat of my parents' car with an M80 and didn't get caught.
I refuse to believe that story.
It is true as ever.
How did you get the M80s? I mean, have we ever really nailed this down?
My cousin, who was in the car.
How did he get the M80s?
No, you don't ask those questions. Black market.
There's a black market fireworks place for every teenager.
I almost lost the family jewels.
Now, I believe the story happened. What I believe happened was your parents recognized what happened and were just too exhausted.
You think so?
Makes sense, given all the other stories you have shared now of... You know what? This was our car, not somebody else's. I didn't have to deal with somebody else driving, pulling into our driveway to yell at us about an M80 that went off and, you know, created a giant hole in their seat.
So you think we just wore them out?
Oh, yeah. They were exhausted. Yeah,
they were?
There's
no chance that they had any energy to deal with this.
We would have done more than if I knew that. Yeah, the banana tailpipe doesn't work, by the way. I can tell you that. It doesn't.
You tried it, huh?
And then you morph to a potato, stuffing that in. That didn't work either.
Are you sure it didn't work? Did the car run exceptionally well?
It ran. I don't know how well it, I mean,
it just gets fired out.
A 1974 Vega? How well does that actually really run?
Yeah, it's tough to tell if it was the Vega or the potato that was really doing the damage.
800-990-3776 reaction coming in. Beef Ramington saying, we used to take my cable remote and change people's channel through their windows and watch them go crazy. Now that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
That is some innocent fun where you're just walking around your neighborhood with the remote, seeing who's television you could change from the outside.
It's a powerful remote.
So I had a brother, right? Was an idiot. He's really smart,
but he's
an idiot. He dry fired a kid's compound bow, which I guess wrecks the bow.
Yes. I'm sorry. There's a lot of words that you
no
put together
arrow
there.
In it. Just pulls it back and then lets it go.
Dry fired is what it's called?
Correct. Yes.
Dry fired it, wrecked it. I mean, a compound bow in the 70s was probably a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah.
So it was great. The next day, 14 pizzas showed up at my parents' house. So the kid, this is before they used to check phones and stuff. My dad's like, I'm paying for the 14 pizzas. Where the kid called the pizza place and had them delivered to our house. Whoa, were they?
A lot of people getting ticked off there.
Yes.
I do appreciate the dry fire, though. I've never heard of dry fire before. Heard of dry. You know what? Let me go back to the talking text line.
Never mind.
Stevie weighing in saying, we got Boomer, Jen, and Chewy this morning. Am I being a boomer?
It's a little boomerish.
It is?
What's a boomer? Baby
now,
boomer?
That's boomer. One of the comedy guys that we saw this weekend, I told you guys I saw Jerry Seinfeld on Saturday night in Green Bay. Fantastic, by the way. But the guy that was opening for him, Ryan Hamilton, I want to say. You guys familiar with his work at all? He has a special on Netflix. Ryan Hamilton had a whole bit about how kids nowadays don't want to leave the house, right? They finish up with their schooling. They're ready to leave. And they're like, why would I leave? Mom still makes my food. Mom still does my laundry. Da, da, da. But he was talking about how traumatic our childhoods were. And at the minute that we could leave the house, we were like, I might come back. I might not. I'm probably going to do the minimum allotment of visits after I leave this house because I don't know what happened here, but I know that it was insane. Right? Like compared to what we're doing with our kids now. And it just got me thinking again about the stuff we used to do as kids and the stuff that kids are doing now and how they are missing out.
Yeah. How many times
did you just hear it? I just heard it there. You're
the
being
boomer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how many times do you say to your parents, hey, I'm staying over Katie's tonight? Hey, you ain't staying over Katie's.
Whose house were you staying over at?
We'd be out all night. We used to go barn
just
painting.
Just run in the streets?
We used to paint. We'd have to ride our bikes like 4 miles. This is what you did. You did the same thing.
I didn't paint any random ass barns.
Yeah, you'd paint a barn.
Why are you doing manual labor?
Everything else was mischievous, and now you're doing free labor for someone.
Yeah. You'd paint like whatever we'd paint. Like, Turner's Falls sucks.
What is Turner's Falls? Is that a neighboring,
neighboring town? Yeah.
The other football team?
Oh, we used to have so much
AC
fun.
And Tosa saying, how come nobody's mentioned egging houses? That's what we used to do when we were kids.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe kids aren't missing out.
You know what's worse? What's worse? Egg a car when it's like 10 below zero.
Freeze.
Ooh, that'll take your paint off. Not saying I did it before. I'm just...
You saw somebody. I mean, Angie used to have the auto body shop. You saw what happened when people would do that.
All right. My dad had did a lot of welding. This is from Sheila in the 414. We had a, I don't know what this is, acetylene tank.
Acetylene.
Thank you. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And you can take a garbage bag and make an air bomb.
Yes.
Of course we did, and we hid when we set it off in the park, and then it exploded, and apparently pictures off the wall of the neighbor's home fell, and the police did not believe that we had only had M80s. So there, this is, Sheila is from your neck of the woods. Sheila was doing the stuff that you were doing. 800-990-3776. What's the stuff that you were doing as kids that kids just don't do anymore? Maybe they're missing out, maybe they're not, but it is a different world. We got to get back to the Bucks and the Packers. Brewers had a big win this weekend as well. All that and more when Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take
Jesus and the presence out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Mentality can help you the way that it has helped me. I thought I was just kind of more tired, groggy, not really feeling like myself. Didn't have that energy to really attack the day the way I thought and the way I like to have. But I just thought, okay, getting older, waking up a little bit earlier, doing a morning show, just kind of goes with, you know, the aging process. But it doesn't have to be that way with Mentality. If you're feeling that same way, go to Mentality, lowtusa.com. Get the blood panel done. If your results come back, your testosterone levels are low, you can then start working with Mentality. And the other great thing about Mentality, it's not one size fits all. It's not just, okay, here you go, go about your day. No, you keep coming back to make sure that your testosterone levels are exactly where they need to be for you. So go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more at lowtusa.com.
So the thing about football is it's a team sport. We talk about this all the time. And yet the quarterbacks get an unfair amount of criticism and applause, depending on the success or failure of a team. So there was a conversation, I'm guessing it was on the Ringer podcast. Is that what you said, Joshy? This is football?
It is an Omaha production.
Gosh darn it, that's right. Yep. The guy used to be with the Ringer. Now he's with Omaha. When I said, where is it from? Joshy said Omaha. And I was like, I don't care where he's from. He's like, no, Omaha Productions, Jen. Follow the bouncing ball. But there was a conversation about who will be better in 2027. Jordan Love or Caleb Williams? Woo-hoo! Man, Jordan Love already has at least some work in the books. You have some evidence of his success. Now, will he continue it? The hope, obviously, in this part of the world is yes. Caleb Williams has done nothing in the league. Mm-hmm. This, to me, should be a no-brainer. This should be easy. What does Danny Perkins, who I believe is a Chicago football beat reporter, say when asked about Jordan Love versus Caleb Williams in 2027?
2027, we're doing this show. Who's better, Love or Caleb Williams?
Caleb. It has to be Caleb. Now, what part of my brain? I always say everybody has biases. The only people you can trust are the people who admit the biases. Now what part of my answer is that we border Wisconsin here in Chicago. My dad's whole family is from Wisconsin, and that they have never in their life, people my age and older, not known a quarterback that either was for sure a first ballot Hall of Famer, or right now they believe that Jordan Love has a shot. Maybe not the first ballot, but he'll get there too. Part of it is motivated by, I just don't believe they could be that damn lucky and go 3-for-3 like no other team has done before.
I will say this. The lack of an owner leads to a type of patience that most franchises cannot have at the quarterback position.
And I'm hoping that the ceiling on Jordan Love is significantly lower than it is on Caleb, and that we've seen Jordan Love be close to proof of concept, like close to the ceiling, because he is smart, sure, because he knows the system, because he had that time, because he has the good coaching. I'm sure he'll get better. Everybody gets better. That offense will get older and more mature and more into their prime. But I do think Caleb's natural talent is significantly higher.
You know what? You could go back 4 years or 5 years, and these guys would be saying the same thing about Justin Fields. This is the delusion of the Bears. They can't just admit for the last 92 math, you know, that the Packers have just dominated. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. Like you said, there's a sample size. And I'm not all in.
It's not a big sample size.
Caleb Williams is not Andrew Luck. He's not Peyton Manning, you know, those kind of generational picks that are. I personally, he may be good. I don't think he's going to be great. I just don't. I mean, he threw a handful of picks at USC, and it's the Bears. They do this every year. We listened to him last year when they were talking about Justin Fields. He's our guy. We really like how he's playing. He's our guy. And where's he at now? In Pittsburgh.
I will say that, I mean, the thing that does make sense to me is that Caleb Williams coming into the league, and really, I mean, the raw skill set is better than that of Jordan Love's. It just is. I mean, Jordan Love wasn't a number one overall pick. He was a first round pick, but Caleb Williams has been that guy. So he has that raw skill set. The question then for the Chicago Bears is, do they have the right coaching staff in place to be able to bring the things out of Caleb Williams that the Packers were able to bring out of Jordan Love in the last 9 games last season.
Coaching staff, and you could also argue personnel around him. Because that's the thing that I started this whole thing with. Football is a team sport. While we always, we give too much credit and we give too much blame to the quarterback, what metric are you going to use? There's a lot of them out there. You're going to use QBR. You're going to use completion percentage. You're going to use passing touchdowns to interceptions. You're going to use yards per attempt. You're going to use rushing touchdowns. You're going to use sacks. You're going to use downfield completions, whether that's 10 yards or 20 yards. Like, what metric are you going to use? Is it a combination of all of those? Because there are things that Caleb Williams will probably do better than Jordan Love. But there's also an age difference here. Caleb Williams is currently 22. So in 2027, again, math, not great. But what would it be, 25? 3 years, 25? Mm-hmm. Jordan Love will be 27. Like, you have to think that, again, a lot of these quarterbacks who are able to escape the injury bug, right, who aren't dealt these, you know, blows like the Achilles and things like that, ACLs, get better and better and better as they go on. And I think that the Green Bay Packers have shown a much stronger, longer history of being a successful franchise. You know, we joke around about the Bears being a buffoon franchise, and that in part is because of the ownership, and that in part is because of the people that they have had in positions of authority in recent years. I don't know what it's going to look like with Ryan Poles and Eberflus continuing to be the head coach, but I do know that the Packers have a track record of success, and that if they did nail the quarterback spot, then this to me feels like a snowball rolling downhill, continuing to gain momentum.
But wouldn't you copy us? Wouldn't you, if you owned a pizza place in town, right? Yep. And I owned one.
Yeah.
And you're killing me, crushing me. Wouldn't I copy you? I mean, part of the reason that Aaron Rodgers was so damn good is because he sat for a little while, right?
Mm-hmm.
What'd Jordan Love do? Sat for a little while, right? I guarantee they're going to play him coming out the gate and he's going to struggle. And I'm not saying he's going to be terrible, but I've seen a lot of mock drafts where they have the four quarterbacks going off the board.
Yep, 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4. The history of the draft in the NFL, two of those guys will be absolutely terrible.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who that's going to be. But I wouldn't like those. You know, I understand you got to take a quarterback. But, I mean, for them to say, oh, Caleb Williams is going to be much better. It's so bearish. It's what they do. Why don't you try copying us?
Because that doesn't
the formula.
But that doesn't always guarantee success either.
It sure is a hell of a lot better than doing what they've been doing.
Well, I mean, because here's the thing about Caleb Williams. He has to be good this next year. Otherwise, he's probably going to be looking at a new head coach. He's probably going to be looking at a new offensive coordinator. And the quarterbacks that have that kind of turnover, the chance of success is very limited.
But it's crazy because there's a little bit of hesitancy that I have had about wrapping my arms around Caleb Williams being the number one overall pick. And I don't know if this is just draft red herring, which we see a lot, right? We see teams that are like, you should not do this, but we're definitely going to do this. But you should definitely not, because there are a lot of teams out there and anonymous scouts and people who are saying that they would go with Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams.
This happens every draft cycle. And it's, you know who else it's starting to happen to now? Marvin Harrison, where, oh man, actually, Malik Nabers is the much better wide receiver here, where Caleb Williams, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr. have been top five picks for the last 18 months. And at this point, there are only so many positive things you can say about all three of them. So now the negative stuff comes out, and then you start, well, I mean, if he does have these holes, maybe he shouldn't go number one, or maybe this other wide receiver, or maybe this player should go. Now, everybody's got these holes. We just haven't been talking about some of these other guys like Malik Nabers, like Jaden Daniels as long. So then the negative stuff just doesn't bubble to the surface.
But, and the other part, I get the formula now, right? The formula is to draft the quarterback early, get him playing as quick as you can, so you don't have to get to that fifth-year option very quickly, right? The Bears aren't going anywhere quickly. They're a ways away. So if I'm them, and I really don't care, I would say, you know, they're going to play him first game of the year.
Yeah, I mean, they have to.
I know, but that wrecks more quarterbacks.
I mean, honestly, I think there are just as many quarterbacks who have succeeded who have sat, and then the ones that play right away. I mean, because guys that have played right away, there's a ton of them that have had success across the league. There are guys that have sat that have not had success across the league.
But it's to Jen's point, though. Eberflus is getting fired after this year. If you're bringing in your number one pick of the draft, don't you go with a whole new staff?
I mean, yeah, they bleeped this up the last time around with Justin Fields.
Yeah.
They should have cleaned house.
Dave from Aaron weighing in saying it's been proven it's not necessarily where you're drafted, it's where you're going. The Packers are great at developing quarterbacks and the Bears suck ass at it. I'm willing to bet Fields will do better with the Steelers than he did with the Bears. Meanwhile, Casey weighing in saying, does Caleb Williams have the mentality and focus to want to get better? 800-990-3776. The year is 2027. Which quarterback is having a better season, career? Is it, I almost said Justin Fields, is it Jordan Love or is it Caleb Williams with the Chicago Bears? Guys, you might be looking to buy a home now because life happened, or you might not be looking to buy a home because you got married and things are just trickling in. Great Midwest Bank helps in any of those situations. Their loan officers know the loan process can add stress to an already busy life. They really understand it. Great Midwest Bank believes securing loans shouldn't be stressful for you. They will walk you through the entire process and get you whatever it is that you need. They like to call that a state of banquility. That's the feeling of tranquility you feel when you find out how easy the loan process can be. If you're interested in any of these things, buying a new home, maybe looking to downsize and switch to a different house, reach out to Great Midwest Bank today to experience what they call a state of banquility. Great Midwest Bank is your and my equal lending option. Visit greatmidwestbank.com to get started on a home mortgage loan.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
For your next night out, make Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel, your dinner destination. Aria is nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It is an artful dining experience that captivates with its culinary creativity, delighting in its offering of artisanal American cuisine, transcending tradition, and leaning into the realm of playful and inventive flavors. Come and experience the magic of Aria, where every bite is a work of culinary artistry. You can make reservations at aria@stkate.com. That's aria@stkate.com. If you missed any of our conversation about the Milwaukee Bucks winning game one against the Pacers, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand. Spent the first hour talking about those Bucks. I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow as we get more clarity on whether or not Giannis will be available for any of the games this series. Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.